This is a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. With you till 11 o'clock tonight. Coming up at 9:30, the worst. We got prizes, 312-981-7200. And after that, we're going to have Sexy Fights, the live music of Sexy Fights. Which I'm excited. This is a dream pop. I didn't really know what dream pop was. But I listened to it. I might really dig it, man. Bob's already in here setting up, so it's going to be a grand old time. He's got the special mics. So we're good to go. I like it. All right. Well, first, though, this week, a new show takes over the upstairs space at Steppenwolf. It's called Constellations. It stars John Michael Hill and Jesse Fisher. It originally hit Broadway last year, starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ruth Wilson. The show now comes to Steppenwolf, where it will be directed by Chicago vet Jonathan Barry. Jonathan is an artistic producer, and this production will be his first directing for the Fame Theater. Jonathan has worked the better part of the last decade directing off-loop theater, including Kill Floor at ATC and Posh at Steep Theater. And Jonathan Barry is my guest in the studio tonight. Jonathan, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
So this is an exciting play for you to be taken on as your first project. I mean, you've done other stuff at Steppenwolf, but this is your first baby.
This is the first main stage show. Yeah, yeah. I've worked with their young adult group, which is amazing, and their first look process. But this has been the first sort of like the main stage show, the full budget.
And why is this the first one for you?
Man,
what's special about Constellations?
I think that the thing that's special about Constellations, I've directed one other play of Nick Payne's at Steep in a much smaller scale, and the as soon as this play came out and got sort of published, I shopped it around to a bunch of different places. I thought, okay, I've gotten in here, and nobody was biting, and nobody would give me a
really?
Shot at it. I started the job at Steppenwolf in June last year, and I walked in. There's a big yellow post-it note with the name Constellations on it on their sort of idea board. I'm like, oh, that's why no one's giving me the job, is because Steppenwolf's hanging on to it.
That's a pretty popular play. I mean, it did well, and I mean, it's a romance play that's set in London.
It is.
But it's got some time travel elements to it. I was trying to figure out a lot about it.
Nick Payne's a really cool playwright. He gets turned on by an idea in the world, and he spends like 6 to 8 months just studying that idea, and then he tries to write a relationship play that touches on it. So he got inspired by first the sort of bee collapse, the colony mm-hmm. collapse in the bee community, and then he had a really hard time writing that play. And just as he was turning that page, he watched Brian Greene's Elegant Universe, which is an explanation of string theory and one of the...
Sure.
Right. It's real heady stuff. But one of the explanations of string theory is like this idea of the multiverse. So he set a relationship play between a cosmologist and a beekeeper and then split it up into... You know, you see seven different points in their relationship, and then like seven or eight different variations on how the scene could be. So he sort of imagines a relationship in a multiverse.
You mentioned Nick Payne. Like, how as a director do you pay very close attention to playwrights? I mean, to the people who are working. I mean, and is it the sort of skill set that you have to be able to say, I can see exactly how I would stage this?
Yeah. I mean, I think you fall in love with the play in the first 10 pages. I think generally you know, okay, this is sort of speaking my language. And Nick Payne is a guy, and he writes a bunch of different forms. He has a bunch of maybe four or five different plays out right now, and they're all very, very different. But I like that he's excited about ideas. I like that he writes real people that I get. He kind of leans into some working class Londoners, which I also sort of, mm-hmm. you know, understand and get excited by. So I like his work a lot. I think the freelance directing game is one where you read a lot of plays and throw out a lot.
And let me know how it works. I mean, as a director in town, do you sort of get to choose what plays you work on? I mean, is that the or is it more that the institution does and they say, we need a director for this play?
Both things happen. I think you always have sort of a cadre of plays that you've read and that you're keeping by your mm-hmm. your bedside and hoping that nobody else pitches, so that when you do walk into a room, you can say, okay, I've got these three ideas and would love to do them. And sometimes you pick up the phone and it's an artistic director that says, I've got this play. We don't have a director for it yet. Would you read it and mm-hmm. Pitch us your ideas about it? So I would say that like 60% of the time I choose my own plays, and about 40% I'm pitched one. I've learned pretty quickly, though, if you try to do a play that you don't love, it
really
it falls apart pretty fast. Yeah, it's harder to get to the finish line on a play you don't love.
And I mean, for you, I mean, so the job of being a director, especially a freelance one, a lot of it is reading. A lot of it is just is constantly being up on what new plays and original plays are coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, and it's a problem with success. If you get a good year together and you're directing all the time, particularly in the off-loop scene, you're working a day job in the 9-to-5 slot, and then you're going to rehearsal from 6 to 11. And like, when do you find time to sort of read up on plays? So you can direct an entire season of plays and get to the end of it and be like, I have no idea what I can do.
I skipped a year. Right?
I missed a year of reading.
I better find consolations. Nobody wants consolations.
Right. Does anyone want to do this play? There are a lot of young directors out there in the city who are really mad that I am directing this play, because it was something that was on a lot of people's radars. And you're like, it's funny. The freelance directors, I think, find a play that they love, and it truly is. You don't want to like show your hand too much, because you're like,
it's competitive.
If nobody else knows about it, then maybe you got a shot. You know,
I guess I never thought about that. I always feel like, you know, just from a layman's approach to theater, that the institution sort of, you know, because they do it all in advance. So here comes a season. There's five plays, but they're really, I mean, there's a little bit of jockeying that goes in to try and pitch your play into those seasons.
Yeah, and I think you start to learn theaters are putting together their seasons, and the bigger institutions do it a little bit, or even quite
planned
a bit earlier.
Yeah, right.
So you're hoping to have the next season usually put together for these bigger institutions in like January or February of the year coming up. You know, it's a bigger ship, so there's less wiggle room. You know, you have to kind of have all the deck chairs lined
up.
It's
interesting, because I'll ask a question. It's tough because, I mean, you are an artistic producer at Steppenwolf, and I don't know if you would keep Steppenwolf out of it. But is it do you know the kind of theater companies that are interested in freelance directors bringing plays in? I mean, is it a tough city to pitch to?
I mean, so much of it ends up being relationship and then reputation. And I think that I have been fortunate on both fronts, where I went to grad school in this city that I started acting in. So I had a bunch of connections coming out of grad school and had done some work and was able to you know, put some plays together. And then it is, right? You can't afford, I don't want to say like a bad production, because that makes it sort of quality.
There's always going to be bad productions.
You can't afford a bad experience for the people who are working on it. Mm-hmm. So everyone who works on the play, you want to create a situation where they all want to work with you again.
Right. Not unlike like film.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we were talking to somebody about the idea that, you know, directing is, I mean, it's more than just on a film. It's more than just, you know, oh, this is going to look great. I mean, they're almost become the CEOs of the film set.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that they have 70, 80 people that they have to kind of keep track of and everything. Is it similar in theater where you have a staff? I mean, part of it is, yes, the creative that you put in, but also like making sure that the production is keeping in time?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm keeping in time, but it's also for me more about, right, you read a script and you have an idea about it and a reason for doing it. And then for me, the job is to inspire a bunch of creative, talented people in a direction of saying, like, this is the way we're going to head. And then in the best case scenario, you create the circumstances for them to do that work. Mm-hmm. And then you serve as an editor. So in that way, it is filmic, right? You're hoping for the best material, and then you kind of put that together and say, maybe this and not that, or maybe, you know, but I am only as good as the people that I'm working with.
I think
that's also true with film, right? There's it's really hard to kind of pull something out of nothing.
Do you find yourself, as you put more credits under your belt, do you find yourself with those relationships finding people that you like to work with, that you'll bring in on this project, that are almost like a Jonathan Barry staff that's going to come in and be a part of a show?
I think that you... for designers in particular, I think you find a group of people who you get pretty excited by and whose work you like and, you know, whose aesthetic you know. I have made a little bit of a career by finding plays with young people and by capitalizing on the incredibly rich market of, you know, 18 to 20 somethings that are out and hungry, and, you know, particularly for the off-loop groups that I'm working with, you know, they don't pay a lot of money, and they're looking for people to kind of make their first mark.
And so
I did. I taught a lot of college, so I got used to that language of director slash teacher, because some of it is a little bit of teaching acting to some of the young folks.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
But I also just really love that energy, and it also keeps my music up to date. You know?
Right. Well, I mean, I'm fascinated by that, just by the sense that, yeah, as a director, if you're directing younger actors, your job is much different than if you're at Steppenwolf directing Jesse Fisher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just think that it's interesting that you have to change gears in who, you know, just the demographics of who you're working with.
I will say I walked into the Constellations process, and you get a little bit nervous of, oh, man, I hope I have something to say on day four. Because these people are coming in, and, I mean, John Michael Hill and Jesse Fisher, if you are ever so lucky to work with those two individuals, this is an incredibly complicated text. It's 50 scenes in 80 minutes. So it's shift and shift and shift and shift. And
do you like that? You like that?
It is a new form for me. It keeps me in my toes. And like every shift, because of the way he's written it, you're sort of dumping out, you have the same two people, but you have a completely different set of sort of given circumstances and a completely different approach. So these two guys are just, they are unbelievably talented, but I'll also say that, you know, it's my first time working on, you know, not my first time. One of the first times that I've worked on a full equity show where everyone is making a living wage and the actors just have to do that job. And
they're not also working
They're
not working the lights.
So they're able to go home at night and work on their script. So the fact that they're walking in and they're off book in rehearsal, and you know,
it's all new for you.
It's I don't want to say that it makes the job easier, but it makes the job easier,
right?
You know, you're like, you are wildly
you can focus on the nuances and the things that you need to do, as opposed to saying, okay, you know what, let's all stop, let's all rehearse and memorize page three.
Yeah. It's not just about getting to the finish line.
Right.
You actually get to build something and have a more sort of in-depth conversation with every moment and in the process.
One more question for you. I've always heard with theater, especially with young theater actors and people who want to get in, that if you want to do the work, if you want to be a director, if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a writer in any form, form your own theater company. Because it's just easier, because this town is, even though this town has tremendous theater, it's not unlike some of the bigger cities in our country. It's difficult. There's a lot of competition, and sometimes you can find yourself being very, burnt out before you even start.
Yeah.
So, Jonathan, is that still hold true? The idea that if you're coming out of college, that your best bet to get started is to start your own theater company?
I mean, I think that in Chicago, in particular, because of the market and because of the, you are more financially able to do that here than in a lot of other places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell young directors that the thing that you're trying to do is basically walk into a place that doesn't know you and convince them that to give you $10,000 to $30,000 of their money, and you're going to promise not to blow it and, in fact, like, make a return on it. And that's really hard to do without any kind of relationship. Raising that money isn't easier unless you happen to have a trust fund or something like that.
Right,
but at least then you're not beholden to someone saying yes. You can sort of say yes to yourself. And, you know, there are a ton of different ways to raise some money in a ton of different small spots in this community where you can put on a show. And if you get some buzz, people will come. That's That's how Steppenwolf started. Yeah, that's how all of these places have started. And I think there's a lot of that kind of folklore around Chicago theater that makes people want to approach it like
I can't thank you enough for coming in. It's a pleasure to talk to somebody, you know, of your stature about the theater community and doing theater and the craft here in Chicago. The show Constellations is at Steppenwolf. It starts Thursday, right?
We start previews on Thursday, yep.
On Thursday, it stars John Michael Hill and Jesse Fisher. My guest tonight, Jonathan Barry, he's the director. His first show at Steppenwolf. He's been doing tremendous work here in the Off-Loop theater scene for years now. Jonathan, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Justin.